It's the Full Force Movie News Burst Extra, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, joining me to discuss the recent news that a scene in Rise of the Beasts hints at a G.I. Joe Transformers live-action movie crossover is the General himself, Justin Generals Joes Bell. Before we go any further, spoiler alert, there will be spoilers ahead for the movie, so please switch off now if you don't want to know anything about it. So, on the last movie news burst, it was revealed by industry insider Daniel Richtman that a new live-action G.I. Joe Transformers crossover movie was in development, and now we have our first piece of actual physical proof, thanks to a scene at the end of Rise of the Beasts, which has been shown at the premiere in Singapore already, and has been heavily discussed in a press conference following the event. First off then, Justin, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it came out of nowhere, and now all of a sudden we've got an actual detailed breakdown of what the end credit scene is going to look like. Yeah, it, you know, we heard, you know, we last time we recorded, we talked about Daniel Rickman's little story that there was something in development, and as we kind of discussed, in that in development can mean so many different things.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a little bit further in development than we thought.
Apparently in this case it's happening.
Yeah, I guess,
what's going on now. Couple of things that, like, caveats I guess that we should probably cover first. One, this is obviously a very clear indicator that they want to combine the two franchises going forward, whether that means the next Transformers movie, or whether that means a Transformers G.I. Joe movie, or whether it means a G.I. Joe movie that also incorporates, you know, maybe they might be doing the long game, or we might just go straight into a Transformers G.I. Joe movie. Now, we don't know, like, all of the details, because they haven't told us all of the details, but the fact that this thing is rolling, the press conference was the first thing that we discussed together, wasn't it, off air?
Yeah.
It's like, we're like, watch this press conference, they talk about it, you know, like, yada yada yada, and lo and behold, someone in the press asked the question, what's the G.I. Joe Transformers thing, based on the end of the movie scene, and they were quite open about it, like Lorenzo, yeah, kind of De Bonaventura said that's what they want to do, and it's going to feature heavily in the next film.
Yeah, now, like, exactly.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a G.I. Joe Transformers movie, but it might, sounds a bit to me like the next movie, either G.I. Joe or Transformers, will once again try and tie in a little bit more of these universes. Yeah. What do you think of that first and foremost?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because they, throughout that press conference, they seemed to be indicating, you know, how secretive the whole thing was. Like, I think somebody said they filmed the scene like 9 days before the press conference or something like that, and, you know, didn't really tell anybody about it. But then, you know, somebody brought it up at the press conference before the movie's even released, and they're just talking openly about it without any real concern for secrecy. But I think it's interesting the way that Lorenzo said, as you just mentioned, feature heavily in the next movie, makes me kind of think, considering it's a press conference for a Transformers movie, that they're talking about the next Transformers movie, yeah, and that it will primarily be a Transformers movie, but that the G.I. Joe elements will play heavily into that movie, which is interesting. You know, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, any honest G.I. Joe fan, any G.I. Joe fan who's honest with themselves, you look at the Transformers franchise and the G.I. Joe franchise from a Hollywood perspective, there's no comparison. I mean, Transformers is a $1 billion franchise, or has been, you know, in the past. And using that as a springboard for G.I. Joe, I think, is not a bad thing. Yeah. So any Joe fans are kind of like, we don't need Transformers. Well, you kind of do. And one thing that's interesting, really interesting to me, I didn't really appreciate sort of the broad scope and scale of the Transformers influence until I saw, it was an article kind of unrelated to our, like, little fandom circles, where it talked about, I think, like, the top 20 highest grossing IPs currently. Transformers came in at like number 18, which I was very surprised about. Like, it broke that top 20 of highest IP, you know, most revenue generating IPs globally. And they're just talking about general IPs. You know, Disney was on the list, obviously, and a bunch of, you know, Marvel was on the list, Star Wars was on the list. Transformers came in at number 18. So, I mean, that's not small. So being able to leverage that to catapult G.I. Joe maybe a little bit, I don't see anything wrong with that.
It can't be a small franchise when they've got their own restaurant, their own, like, fast food restaurant that's just open.
Yeah.
That thing looks amazing, by the way. I'd love to go there.
Yeah, and I think people kind of undersell the influence of the Bay Transformers movies when it comes to the brand as a whole. I mean, I'd be the first one to say that I'm not a big fan of the Bayverse stuff. I mean, I think the first movie was was really good. I
Yeah,
really
yeah.
enjoyed that movie, but it went downhill and was just not a good representation of the Transformers brand. But I don't think anybody can argue that the brand itself wouldn't be what it is right now without those movies. So
Absolutely,
at some
yeah.
point you have to say the movies are terrible, but I'm glad they happened. So I think, we could only be so lucky if something similar happened with G.I. Joe.
Absolutely. Now, the next element that we should probably discuss then, obviously that the press conference didn't reveal anything massive, but it did have that nice little kind of like sound bite from Lorenzo about featuring heavily in the next film. That kind of leads us on then to what, a day later, a couple of days later, all of a sudden there were articles and descriptions of the this like basically this scene in the film that people had seen, and we don't know if it's a post-credit, mid-credit, or just end scene at the moment. It sounds like it's just the end scene or a mid-credit because there are credits that follow by the description that we've heard. And
Okay.
obviously, in that description of I will call it the finale, I'll call it that. And we'll shout out to Geek Culture here, who broke this down, incredibly. They say at the end of the movie, and after stopping Unicron and his minion Scourge down in Peru, Noah Diaz, Anthony Ramos, returns home to New York and continues his job search. The film shows him entering a warehouse where the ex-military electronics expert sits with his interviewer, played by Michael Kelly. The interviewer notes that Diaz's resume is thin, and when Diaz tries to embellish his recent experience working with the Autobots and Maximals without outing his newfound friends, the interviewer reveals that he knows all about the record world-saving exploits of Diaz. Sorry, the recent world ra What record? All about the recent world-saving exploits of Diaz and his giant friends. Diaz is surprised but still keeps his mouth shut until the interviewer hands him a card and says he wants Diaz to work on his team. The interviewer then stands and touches a shield-shaped plaque hanging on the wall behind him. The wall then moves to reveal a large military facility warehouse where audiences can see a futuristic jet being assembled in the back. He then steps onto an open lift and descends into the warehouse. Diaz looks astounded at what has just been revealed and turns the card over to see a logo of a falcon's head and a star on a shield-shaped emblem with the words G.I. Joe under it before the credits roll. So much to unpack here, Justin.
Yeah.
Firstly, great to see Michael Kelly here and as some sort of G.I. Joe character to boot.
Oh, I'm a huge Michael Kelly fan. I think he's been in so much, and everything he's in, he's great. He's one of those actors that isn't A-list, but the minute you see him, you're like, you know who he is and
Yes.
what he represents. And I think he's really a great person to kind of be a connective tissue to that G.I. Joe franchise. I mean, he recently appeared in, I think it was season three of Jack Ryan, of that Amazon Prime series, and plays sort of a pseudo intelligence military operative kind of role there, and does a great job at it. So, I mean, I really like his gravitas. I like him as an actor. I really love seeing him sort of in that kind of role, and I think it's a 5-minute scene, but I think it sort of bodes well for the mindset they're approaching this with.
And bodes well for G.I. Joe to have someone of, like you say, such gravitas being
Yeah.
attached as a character. Now,
Yeah.
who do you think he's going to like him and Anthony Ramos here? This is interesting because obviously Anthony Ramos is probably going to say yes to joining the G.I. Joe team. That would be a real waste of time, wouldn't it? If it was just one of,
Yeah, no, I changed my mind.
yeah,
Thanks,
I'm
though.
not into it, mate. I'm just going to be a transformer instead.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be an action master and have I'm gonna get inside of Jazz or inside of someone else. No, I'm kidding. But what do you think their? I mean, based on like his specialty as what as an electronics
He's an
expert.
electronics expert, yep, and he is ex-military, it says in the movie. Another interesting element is that apparently
This is
he actually
Diaz, by the
dons
way.
the
This
this
is
Diaz,
yeah,
yes.
Ramos, yep.
Yep. He actually dons the exosuit in the Rise of the Beast movie too. So I don't know if that'll play any role into what he does with G. I mean, I know I can see G.I. Joe fans rolling their eyes already about
Delta Six
accelerator suits and all
accelerator
that.
suit, yeah.
Yeah,
What does it
exactly. But
accelerate? You. Sorry.
that's all right. But who knows if that'll play any role, but yeah, he's identified as an ex-military electronics expert in the Rise of the Beast movie. So he's
So
got a little bit of that background. So it's not like they're grabbing some civilian off the street,
you
but
said something very interesting in the message to me the other day when we were saying who could he play being, electronics expert, and we were talking like Mainframe, Breaker, and you went Sparks, and I was like, actually, That would be kind of cool because he's got so little background sparks.
Yeah,
it would be nice
exactly.
To,
yeah, and nobody really knows who he is. And I think, you know, we also talked about, you know, looking up the Diaz sort of name to see if that ties to any existing characters. It really doesn't.
No.
Not that that would stop them. I mean, in Rise of Cobra, they, you know, invented, you know, Breaker and Heavy Duty were kind of told, we're not who they were as Joe fans knew them. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's certainly not unprecedented. But yeah, I mean, somebody like Sparks, who's kind of a no-name character, who knows, you know,
yeah.
Maybe that's somebody that they could use to tie around this Diaz persona and kind of link him with G.I. Joe that way.
More importantly, though, in my opinion, who does Michael Kelly play? Because he's obviously someone important.
Mm-hmm.
He is, obviously he's doing the face on customer service role here, but,
yeah.
But also like recruitment, it's not, you don't, I mean, Stalker was sent out to recruit, wasn't he? Like
right.
when he picked up Snake Eyes, like when they were putting the team together. So like
yeah.
It's, and Hawk was with him. So it's like, you know, yeah. I'm kind of thinking like he could be a pretty big name character. And the fact that he's been so good in like Jack Ryan, House of Cards, loads of them, like other, I know House of Cards isn't military, but like other
right.
military based kind of movies and shows he's been in where he's played a very
yeah.
similar character. Who would you most likely put Kelly towards as a character in that sense?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think, you know, I wouldn't want him to, part of me is kind of like, General Hawk, you know, is that too much?
A juggler, perhaps?
Or yeah, a juggler is possible.
Or they're not
kind
very,
of that the, government the, liaison.
Yeah, I think. Hang on. Here's one for you. What? How would you feel about him being Chuckles?
That crossed my mind too. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that.
He has got
that good kind of, you know, cocky undertone. I think that could work. That was actually one of the first names that popped in my head was that, is he Chuckles? Is he that kind of, you know, link between G.I. Joe, you know, and the government and that, you know, that face of the franchise, so to speak. He could play that role. The only thing I would kind of wonder about is that, you know, we're hearing about all these movies that are in development, how Chuckles could be a key character. Is Michael Kelly somebody with the name enough to kind of be a franchise lead for a G.I. Joe movie? Maybe he is. I mean, he's certainly out there. He's around. People know who he is. He's a familiar face. Is he a franchise leading familiar face?
That's a good
I don't
point.
Know.
That's a
but
good point.
So I don't know if they would build a whole film around him as Chuckles, but I wouldn't have a problem with him being Chuckles in sort of a more supporting kind of tangential role.
Yeah,
so
because obviously, you know, he's CIA. That's what he plays, isn't it? He always plays CIA and he always plays it perfectly. Like he's the same character every single time, but he's so good at what he does. And I think, yeah, I would be happy with that. But I agree with you on that one. I think they really need to find somebody if they're going to do that whole leading kind of actor for the franchise type thing. And if Chuckles is the one that they want to kind of go towards, which again, we're not really basing this on anything other than what we've heard in the past and things have changed
right.
since then. But it would be a great way to do G.I. Joe movie with Chuckles. And obviously, like we talked about, the humor, the charisma, and of course, the action, roll that into one, you know, human and have them play Chuckles. Michael Kelly, though, like, I was thinking jugglers initially, and then I thought, no, they're more hands-off jugglers. They're like, they get other people to do the dirty work.
Right.
Hawk would be one of those ones where I think he could do it, but does he have the... He's all... Like, Michael Kelly, unfortunately, comes with the assistant role. Like, he's never the top dog. He's always, like, the person that's doing, like I say, the dirty work. And this, to me, is a bit dirty work. It's like he's interviewing this guy, he's revealing what's going on, and he's kind of explaining. So, to me, that you're probably looking a little bit further down the hierarchy, and maybe, like, Flint... Would that be too much?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. He, you know, there's his age too, where he kind of seems like he's probably a little bit too old to be active duty sort of special forces. Like maybe he, so I don't know if I could see him as really being a mainline G.I. Joe character. That, you know, Hawk would be probably, from an age perspective, Hawk would be the most likely fit. But here's another thought. Another
psych
name
out.
That's been floated around.
Of course, a psych out, yeah.
Totally. Well, I was gonna say another name that's been floated around has been General Flagg.
Yeah, that's
I
a good
mean,
shout.
that's a possibility too. Again, you got to wonder, are they going to sit a general in an abandoned warehouse in New York City to recruit people? Maybe not. But if it is the front for a top secret facility like it seems to be, maybe that's not so unusual. So yeah, I mean, it could be a number of different possibilities, or he may just be some unnamed military,
Yeah, Sector
whoever.
Seven.
But yeah, but what's interesting, I mean,
Nest.
Michael Kelly is, and I don't know, I haven't been able to figure out if he appears elsewhere throughout the Transformer or throughout the Rise of Beast movies, or this is the only scene he
I
has.
think it's the only scene he's in,
If
yeah.
this is the only scene he has, that's a big name for a little 3-minute cameo. So I think it's almost definitely that he's going to be a mainline character in the G.I. Joe franchise.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure who they're going to have him play. I think,
I
there's
kind
some
of.
flexibility from military protocol. Maybe he will be General Hawk, or maybe he will be General Flag. I don't know, but it's interesting to think about anyway.
The next thing I want to talk about in this particular description, because we can talk about Michael Kelly all day long, and I can because I
Yeah.
absolutely adore the man. But in terms of the rest of this description, there's a very major element here that's an elephant in the room, shall we say, where audiences can see a futuristic jet being assembled in the back. First off, when I hear futuristic jet, I do get a little concerned because I start thinking of that Rise of Cobra, like
Yep.
that cr the Chrome, was it the Naboo
Oh
starfighter?
man, my
The
goodness.
mixture of a Naboo starfighter and an Osprey, and they wasn't a fan of
That
that.
vehicle had a really cool design, but yeah, that whole chrome plated sort of thing kind of, yeah, I wasn't a big
Overtly
fan, but
PS1 CGI though, wasn't it, basically?
yeah, it was.
But like in that, when I first think of futuristic jet, I think X30. Do you think it could be some sort of cool little vibe off an
That
X30?
would be cool. That would be cool if they kind of threw an actual vintage accurate sort of thing in there. What we have to do is we have to get some G.I. Joe fans to see some of these screenings so they can report back sort of if it actually looks like anything. Because so far the reports we've got, well, we've only gotten one like scene by scene breakdown from this source that you're talking
Yeah,
about,
geek culture.
and they're not they don't strike me as being like really, G.I. Joe fans necessarily. So we need to get some G.I. Joe fan eyes on this thing. And I'll admit this whole revelation has changed my mind about seeing the movie. I was not going to see it in theaters, but I think I'm going to have to go see it in theaters now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. They could certainly have it be an X30. They could, because I mean that's probably the most easily identified futuristic jet that G.I. Joe has.
Well,
It's not just going to be an F-14 or something like that. I mean.
it could be, I've forgotten the name of it already. The windmills,
Oh, the Skystorm
Skystorm.
with that ridiculous like little propellers.
That would be wicked. Or
Yeah, it could be.
it's a buzz ball with wings. We
Yeah, there
didn't,
you go.
let's think outside the box here, Justin.
Yeah,
So you think Coastal Defender, that's fair enough.
the door opens, there's this big crate. It's a green crate with a tow hook on it. That's what it is. All the G.I. Joe fans are like, oh my God. And everybody's like, what's
Yeah, what is
that?
it's a box. It's a box that opens up and some dude is standing it. What is going on
Yeah.
here? Amazing, amazing stuff. Well, yeah, I mean that's obviously one that we're gonna have to make a decision on when we see it, but it could just be your generic
Yeah.
futuristic jet that they kind of threw together.
I suspect it's going to be something relatively generic. I wish it wasn't. It's interesting because some of these elements, and we've talked about this, and maybe we want to spin this off and do a separate conversation, but a lot of these elements are kind of feeling very Rise of Cobra-esque to me. This whole hidden facility with, lots of, stuff going on, lots of vehicles being, or a futuristic vehicle being built.
Yep.
The fact that I think the scene breakdown talks about them going down a lift or something like that. I mean, and we all know that happened during the Rise of Cobra movie. So they do seem to be, which
The
I
logo,
like.
the logo.
Yeah, the logo, exactly. That shield with the bird and the star or whatever, it's very much Rise of Cobra. Of course, that's been sort of G.I. Joe's default logo since Rise of Cobra. So maybe that, take that what you will. But
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, I think that's a lot of elements are playing into that. Whether or not they actually tie, they're not going to tie this to the Rise of Cobra universe, I don't think. I think they're just taking a lot of that inspiration from there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, I mean, it wasn't that long ago there was a Snake Eyes movie, and I know people don't aren't really a big fan of it, but will they use any of those elements, you know, in this potential, like, will we see Snake Eyes and Samara weaving a Scarlet and some stuff like that? It's all up in the air right now. I think that would be cool. I think that would be a good way to kind of bring that movie into the continuity without muddling with things too much. But you know, I don't think the Snake Eyes film did anything groundbreaking that will alter how they introduce G.I. Joe into a Transformers movie. I don't think they need to bring that continuity forward, but
Yeah.
maybe they do just so they can avoid having to regurgitate the Snake Eyes backstory again. I don't know. And as far as Henry Golding, maybe he's there, maybe he's not. I don't know. I mean, my hope would be, you know, no offense to Henry Golding, but that they keep his mask on, so maybe it doesn't have to be Henry Golding. I mean, I won't complain if it is, but maybe it doesn't have to be. So I don't know. There's all
I
sorts of
wonder if
things.
they won't even bother attempting to explain
Maybe.
that. You know,
Yeah.
especially with like if the next film's Transformers focused, then
Yeah.
maybe it's just like we'll get to that when we get to it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that would be the right approach because I think the last thing you want to do is do another Transformers movie and have it feature G.I. Joe 75% of the time because the people who came to see Transformers are not. I mean, I'm already hearing Transformers fans being like, ah, we just want the focus to be on Transformers. We don't want to like dilute it with all these human characters. Transformer fans are very much against humanity in general, it seems like. Every time humans kind of, you know, have some role in, you know, defeating the enemy, it's a crisis. And I can understand that. I mean, they're there for the Transformers. Transformers are they should be able to carry the film. They are characters, and anytime you kind of introduce some new human into the mix, you're taking a little bit away from them. And I think
Yeah.
Hollywood struggles to appreciate that fact because I think they just see the Transformers as big old giant robots that smash things. They don't understand that the Transformers themselves are characters, and that is what people want to see. They want to see a world built around those characters. You don't have to inject humans into every scene. So I think a lot of Transformers fans are a little bit concerned about how this
Yeah.
might impact it.
Well, oddly enough, Justin, I'm the same. When it comes to Transformers, like,
Yeah.
I kind of want to see Transformer characters, but
Yes.
this is slightly different, and it doesn't necessarily mean that G.I. Joe is going to take over the
Right.
Transformers universe. All it means is you're tying the universes together so that they can like operate in this in similar places. And I
Yeah.
think that is not a problem. I mean, they
No.
had a huge military presence in all the movies so far,
Yeah.
and all it had to be was just change the branding and the names of some of
Yeah.
the characters. That's all you're dealing
Exactly.
with. There's no
Yeah.
like element of adding more characters. You would effectively just be replacing what you already have as the human element. And Anthony
Right.
Ramos, who's technically the human element of Rise of the Beasts, would just be continuing in
Yeah.
in his role.
And to be honest, if you're going to introduce the human element, I would almost rather you do it with trained soldiers rather than random teenagers off the street like Shia LaBeouf or whatever, who just happened to like stumble into the Transformers and all of a sudden is
And
defeating Megatron on his own or something. You
it's
know,
only
it's
ever been like the one or two anyway, hasn't it? It's only been
right.
Spike and his dad and a couple of other,
Yeah.
sorry, hang on, Spike and his son
Yeah.
and and a few others. It's not like we've had it's not like there's an entire team of kids
Right.
jumping in and fighting Decepticons, which is a funny
Right.
point actually, that there's no Decepticons in this Rise of the Beast movie.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing that emerged from
Yeah.
that press conference. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I know Scourge is supposedly kind of the main villain, and that there's Predacons and Terrorcons. But yeah, there's no Decepticons, which is interesting. You know, you wonder if maybe the G.I. Joe introduction is going to be kind of the return of those Decepticons. And there's a lot
Yeah.
of, and Lorenzo was also very specific during the press conference to say this is not a reboot. It somehow fits into this background continuity of these other movies.
I've heard the opposite as well from Capel Jr., the actual director, who said that it is a reboot. This is just classic. This is the classic move, isn't it? Where
Is.
you hear one person saying one thing and another saying another. It's like
Yeah.
I think the director, Stephen Caple Jr., I think he wanted it to be a reboot, and he's certainly pushing
Right.
that. But maybe Lorenzo's just got other ideas, and he's the one that
Yeah.
technically drives all that, isn't he?
And this is kind of a picture perfect way of how I don't think Hollywood really gets, or at least people involved with the Transformers franchise, they don't get how the Transformers are people, so to speak. Like they are
Right.
characters because I mean, first of all, there was Lorenzo's comment about Ironhide from movie one, where he's my favorite character because all he wants to do is shoot things, and that's not what Ironhide is, first of all.
No.
It's not who he's been historically. But the fact that they just kind of they're so casual with what they name each character, sort of what, you know, everybody seems sort of interchangeable. You know, they throw the Soundwave name on some sports car in the second movie. They, you know,
Satellite.
I do like how Wheeljack, even though he doesn't greatly resemble his vintage look in his vehicle mode, they do go out of their way to make him look like the smart guy, you know, that sort of thing. That's been something that's sort of missing in the past. And how Optimus Prime is, you know, they're not true to the character pieces of these people. I mean, that Optimus Prime is just some murderous guy who, like, rips faces off.
There's a video going around for years of all the scenes of Optimus Prime in all the Bay movies just being a murderous, terrible character and all the horrible things he says. And you just think, wow, most of it isn't even when he's in like that evil technical evil mode in like one of the last movies. It's like
stuff. He's just from day one been brutalizing, and I think Bay was like, well, they're robots and you can get away with them tearing each other apart, and they don't shy away from that. I mean, isn't Bumblebee and Ravage, didn't like I seem to remember a scene where Bumblebee like grabbed Ravage like this, like literally just and ripped the dude apart. I mean, it's like, you know, that's not the core of what these Transformers characters are, and I think that's part of what Hollywood has struggled with. They see them as just big murderous beasts and robots that just obliterate everything in their path, but they're not. And that's what until they can kind of get their head around that, they're going to struggle, I think, sort of reinventing this brand, because you can only take, you know, 3-hour movies of big robots smashing each other to pieces for so long until it gets tiresome. You have to figure out how to make people care for these characters.
Yeah.
And you can't do that if they're just, you know, big automatons that
Only way to do it is to bring in an X-30 Conquest and a couple of G.I. Joe characters. And
there you go.
Well, yeah. Oh, exciting stuff. What's crazy to me about the whole thing is that, yeah, we've been talking about this for ages and we never really kind of believed it was going to actually happen. And now it's happening. I'm kind of like, oh, okay. It's actually happening. Like they're doing.
Hopefully it's not crap.
Well, I'm sure we're going to go through the whole buildup of. Actually, do you know what's funny is I wonder if this does actually improve, you know, numbers for the Transformers movie, because I know loads of people who weren't going to go and see Rise of the Beast and now are going to go see Rise of the Beast for the one scene, like loads of people. And obviously it might not be enough to make it a significant, you know, difference. I'm not saying that G.I. Joe, you know, G.I. Joe is going to save the day here. But it could be like an actual promotional dream from Paramount and Hasbro's point of view.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like you said, I don't think it's gonna move the needle a lot, but I think, you know, some other people are gonna become interested. And to me, one of the coolest things about this is that you're going to get larger pop culture sites talking about this, and as such, G.I. Joe will start come bubbling to the surface again, and it'll start being part of the pop culture lexicon in a way. And I think as, you know, things build up to a next movie, if and when they do, I think, you know, we're going to start seeing a little bit more visibility around G.I. Joe in general, which I think is a good thing. I think it's good for the brand, but I think it's also good because it kind of shows at least a little bit of faith in, you know, Paramount and in Hasbro to have G.I. Joe take that role. Like maybe, you know, what's been going on with the brand has kind of given them a little bit more confidence that maybe this is the right time to start mixing G.I. Joe into it.
Absolutely. And that's it for today. Loads to, we've gone into more depth than I thought we would there, but that's great. lots of, I mean, crazy movie developments here. As we said before, we've had a press conference that explained some of this stuff in minor detail. We've had articles come out recently that have gone into depth about the scene that connects both G.I. Joe and Transformers together, finally putting them in the same universe, finally, in live action, I'm talking about. And that's kind of like, I don't know, it's what we've kind of wanted in a weird way, and now we're getting it, and we'll get to see how it develops. We don't know if it's going to be a Transformers movie next, a Joe movie next, or a combined kind of thing. It's probably more likely just going to be a Transformers movie that has more G.I. Joe elements included. We don't know who Michael Kelly's going to play yet, but that's also exciting. Anthony Ramos, we don't know what his character's going to be. But again, very exciting to find out. And then we get all the casting information that's going to be coming through, Justin. Are you excited for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. And in a way, no matter what the end result of the movie is, the build up to it is always a blast. You know, I had so much fun. It was the build up to Rise of Cobra that kind of gave birth to General's Joe's as it was, made it, it turned it into a news site, basically, as Rise of Cobra was coming about. I kind of changed the site to more of a news-based site. And then there was the lead up to Retaliation, which was huge, which, you know, I loved taking part in that. And then, of course, we got to Snake Eyes. And while I'm not so, you know, frequently updating on General Shows anymore, getting, you know, recording these movie bursts and stuff like that, it's been a blast. And just kind of figuring out this casting stuff. This is one of the best parts of being a G.I. Joe fan, in my mind, is when the spotlight is kind of on the brand and you're taking part in promoting it. And there's news coming from all different directions. And it's stuff that isn't just impacting our tiny little community that we've known for so long. It's impacting a larger audience. And it's really fun to be a part of that.
Awesome. Well, yeah, well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more developments to come, a lot more news bursts to come. In fact, we should do a casting thing, shouldn't we? We should start thinking about what characters we'd like to see and then start throwing actors at them just to see what happens. Anyway, that's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. And as always, after three, one, two, three...
Full Force.
See you later. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.